The National Council for the Training of Journalists. Side 2. The passages on this side of the tape are dictated at 120 words a minute. Passage 1 is entitled Inquest on a Girl Who Died After a Drugs Overdose. Passage 1. Ready? This is an inquest on a young girl who was found dead in bed after taking an overdose of drugs, and I think this is a case where, before recording my verdict, I should first review the evidence. This girl was 19 years of age and is described as a young lady who was likeable and loving, who lived life to the full and often acted on impulse. Just before her death, her mother has said she seemed particularly happy. Her parents had just celebrated their silver wedding, and she was also happy because she had just obtained a new job as a shop assistant. The mother has said that the girl was a practicing Roman Catholic and would never take her own life. She had first been given tablets because she had difficulty in sleeping. Then, following an accident while working as a waitress, she had complained of back and stomach pains. As a result of this, her doctor had given her stronger tablets. On the night of the girl's death, her mother had slept in her bedroom because the girl sometimes liked company. However, the mother had herself taken a sleeping tablet, and she was only vaguely aware of her daughter coming to bed. When she got up the next morning, she assumed her daughter was sleeping, and her death was only discovered 2 hours later when she went to her bedroom to call her to the telephone. Passage 2 is entitled Minutes of Meetings of the Local Water Authority. Passage 2. Ready? Mr. Chairman, I rise to my feet to raise the matter once again about the provision of minutes by our local water authority. You will all remember that some time ago we asked them to strengthen their links with the 65 district councils in their area by sending out copies of the minutes of their meetings. This request had the support of many other councils, but the Water Authority turned it down because they said it would cost them £20,000 a year to operate. I think this decision is not in the best interests of the district councils, Mr. Chairman, and I think it comes about because some of the officers of the Water Authority are hostile towards any further links with district councils. Their fears are childish and unrealistic, in my opinion, and I have since found out that they are not prepared even to send us an agenda of a meeting. I do not know why this should be. The agenda is usually sent out a few days before a meeting. In fact, the time is so close that a district council would not be given time to do anything more than ask its chief officers to read through the agendas, but this authority will not do that. I say it is quite right that district councils should want to pass on any views and not commit representatives to vote one way or the other. Passages 3 and 4 are entitled Council Takes Poll on Application for Adult Shop. Passage 3. Ready? Ladies and gentlemen, as chairman of this committee, I want to make an appeal for common sense. The council has always been a supporter of family values, and we have kept our streets and public areas safe and clean. That is our duty. We have taken a firm line on films or books that, in our opinion, go too far. We have also taken a stand against sex shops in the borough, but it may be time to reconsider. In the past month, we received a request to open what you could only describe as a sex shop. It would stand at the end of a row of outlets on one of our main shopping streets. It would have blacked out windows and a warning on the door that the contents are for adults only. As this is an unusual request, the licensing committee has taken a small opinion poll. Our officers did a survey of shop managers and business owners. They also asked the opinion of councillors. Their findings are as follows. The majority said that they could think of no site in the borough where a sex shop would be appropriate. It seems people who have shops in the area do not want a sex shop near them. That is not a surprise. They fear it would lower the tone of the place. We must take account of their fears, but there is a balance to be struck. Passage 4. Ready? I do think people have a right to buy products which are not outside the law. It is not the job of this council to say the law is wrong. Those who are against the sex shop make another claim. This is a family borough, they say, and they are right. It is a safe place for people to raise their children. Families, though, are not the majority, not by a long stretch. We hired a firm of consultants, and they found out something new. They found that the bulk of our community is between the ages of 25 and 45. They make up half the people. On the other hand, children aged below 14 are very few. Let me now turn to the legal side of this case. The council cannot have a blanket ban on sex shops. Each case must be dealt with on its own. We can only say that a sex shop is not appropriate for a certain place. Each applicant must argue their case, and that is not an easy thing to do. The strange thing is that this borough already has one sex shop. The council refused to grant a license, and it does not have one, but it is still legal. The shop is allowed to trade under the law. It has to meet national instead of local rules. In my view, that just makes the council look a bit silly. Passages 5 and 6 are entitled Residence Fury at Plan for Yard for Abandoned Cars. Passage 5. Ready? We have called this meeting of the Residents Association to discuss the Council's plan to use the land at the end of Pine Close as a storage yard for abandoned cars. As you know, this piece of land has had a variety of uses over the years. We have had a small riding school there, a water garden centre, and an organic market. For the last 10 years, however, the land has been derelict since the council bought it as a possible site for travellers. We all remember how horrified we were at that idea, and it was a tough fight to stop the plan. I am afraid this latest scheme will mean that we have to prepare ourselves for another hard-fought battle. You all have a copy of the details of what the council is proposing, but for those who have not had a chance to read it, I will summarize the main points. The plan is to cover the whole site with a concrete base and put up a 3-meter wire fence on all 4 sides. The only buildings on the site will be 2 wooden huts. The whole site will be protected by a burglar alarm, and it is likely that the council will also employ guards with dogs. There are no plans to widen the road to the site, but the scheme includes a large turning area just outside the entrance to the yard. Passage 6. Ready? There are many arguments against this plan. Where do I start? It is hard to believe that this scheme was devised by someone who has actually gone to this site to take a look. First of all, there is the site itself. This is clearly not a suitable place for this type of development. the yard will generate far more traffic than any of the previous uses of the land, and many of the vehicles going to and fro will be very large. The road to the site is lined with houses and is too narrow for this sort of use. When this land was last used commercially, the houses in Pine Close had not been built. It is one thing to have a few vehicles going along a country road, and another to have towing trucks and even larger vehicles driving through a built-up area. Then there is the question of noise. This is not going to be a quiet or peaceful way to use the site. The council has a policy of removing these abandoned cars at night and at weekends. That spells an end to peace and quiet for the families who live in Pine Close. One of the things I most object to is the way the council has lied about the plan. I have a letter from the council chairman dated last month denying any such scheme for this site. Passages 7 and 8 are entitled City Council's Proposals to Solve Car Parking Problems. Passage 7. Ready? Finding a place to park your car is a big problem in most large cities, and ours is no exception. At last, the City Council is really taking this problem seriously. Several plans are being looked at. One of these is to bring in parking permits for people who live within walking distance of the city. In order to make sure this scheme is acceptable, it is likely that residents will not have to pay for a permit if they have just one car, but a fee will have to be paid for extra cars. It has also been suggested that it should be the City Council's task to make sure the conditions of the scheme are carried out, and that the police should have nothing to do with it. The council is also looking into other traffic matters, such as speeding and the illegal use of bus lanes. Car drivers who insist on driving in bus lanes at times when they are reserved only for buses should be fined. If these fines are given out by the council, then it would not be a criminal offence. The council wardens could also take over the policing of other things, such as time limits on parking in the city centre and on the main roads leading out of the city. The police have no time to cover these tasks because their resources are so stretched, and they would welcome council help. Passage 8. Ready? Those people who live near the city centre will welcome anything which will mean they will be able to park outside their own house at any time of the day or night. These new proposals will deter car drivers who have got into the habit of parking outside someone's house and then going to the city centre for the rest of the day. There is also a problem in the suburbs where cars are parked on a main shopping street and their drivers then catch a bus into the city. People who want to park their cars for a short time in order to visit the shops cannot find a place to park. New measures are being considered to try to solve this problem. This should also please the shopkeepers. There would be a much higher use of parking spaces, which should bring them many more customers. Other matters to be discussed are the use of road humps in order to slow down the traffic and to make some roads for residents only. Some money has been set aside for this work, and more money will be available when the permit scheme gets underway. Traffic and parking problems are the same in towns and cities all over the country. The motor car is here to stay, and there are more and more of them every year. It is really a case of too many vehicles competing for too few spaces. Passages 9 and 10 are entitled Prize Giving Day. Passage 9. Ready? It is a great honour for me to be invited here today to present the prizes at my old school. It does not seem like 40 years since I sat where you are sitting. I used to wonder about the old men who stood on the platform and bored me with their stories about how to succeed in life. But now I am here myself. I was invited, I think, because I am an old boy of the school who has made a success of his life. Yes, I have been successful. I built a business now employing more than 600 people, of which I am chairman. But that is only one aspect of success. The other, to my mind, more important aspect is that I have enjoyed my life. And you do not have to run a company to be able to do that. You know very well that a sound education and the achievement of good examination results are vital in getting started in your career. You know it because in a few minutes I shall be presenting many of you with prizes in recognition of your hard work. But exam results are not everything. Some people leave school without a single certificate and still make a success of life. You have not failed if you do not reach the top in your chosen career. Not everyone can. There is not much room up at the top. passage 10. Ready? If you do manage to get to the top, it can be a very lonely place. The higher you get, the further you can fall. My advice to you today is this: enjoy your life. Life is for living. Work is only a part of it. No matter how humdrum a job, there are compensations if you have a positive attitude. People who work out of doors should consider the days when it is a privilege to do so because of the pleasure of working in fine weather. Do not dwell on bad days when it is cold and wet. Likewise, an office-bound person should consider how fortunate they are when the weather is bad, rather than moan about being cooped up when it is fine outside. A person working in a dull job can find pleasure in being among colleagues, and any small step up the ladder is an achievement, even if the top is out of reach. Many people are happier with jobs that do not carry too much responsibility and find great satisfaction in their work by doing it well. We know that these days few people can expect to have jobs in one company for life, as was the case until recently. It is a good idea to broaden one's interests and talents to make a change of direction easier. Whatever you do, I wish you all a happy life. That will be true success. That is the end of the dictation on side 2 of the tape.